Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, let me say from the bottom of our hearts here, we are tickled pink, and we are excited that you have decided to worship with us in spirit and in truth. And we hope that any time that you're able to come out and do so, it is our prayer that you do. And to the saints here at the South Fayette congregation, let us remember to keep the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us here is that we continue to have the love that Christ has for us, and we show it every opportunity that we have. Desire God's word, have a zeal for it, and continue to share it with any and everyone that we can. And lastly, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus as we struggle on this time side of life to live a life that's pleasing unto him as we become better men and women of God. And when it's all said and done, no matter what, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'd like to say before I begin, I appreciate all the prayers and all the concerns. As me and Dee Dee traveled on the road to Louisville, Kentucky, to pay respects to my dear friend, Brother Antonio Montanez. And so we're grateful for all those prayers. We made it back safely. But I'm going to tell you, it was a trip. It took us about 10 hours. Almost 12 to get from here to Louisville. And it's a 6-hour trip. And it wasn't anything inherited that the kids or Dee Dee did wrong. We just oddly ran into a lot of issues and problems trying to get there. And we weren't the only ones. I had two other minister friends. One was exposed to COVID, could not come. And another one was in a car accident and his son broke his arm. And me and Dee Dee was thinking about it. And I was like, why is it that has been so difficult for us? And I'm just going to simply say the devil is busy. The devil is busy, and he will do any and everything in his power to take us off of our game. So I said that to say I'm grateful for your prayers. God is good, and I'm glad to be here this morning. Well, with that being said, I'll get right into today's lesson. We have a lot to cover this morning, so bear with me. Today is the final lesson on our series of biblical elders. And these series of lessons were about what God has stated in his word and regarding the organization of the church as it relates to elders or shepherds. And we begin this series with the lesson titled, Who Are Elders and What Are Their Responsibilities? And the second lesson that I preached was titled Biblical Qualifications of Elders. And my prayer was that both lessons help us understand the elders and the roles that they play in the house of God. But there is another dynamic in the body of Christ, and that is the role that the flock plays as it relates to the elders. Over in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible tells us to pay careful attention to ourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Now, I need for us to understand that it tells them to pay careful attention to themselves, but in the same instance, also to the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. Elders have been given an awesome responsibility, saints, to feed the flock, to guard the flock, to lead the flock, to care for the flock. God has put us in their care and in their oversight. And I believe that many times when we hear lessons and the lessons are taught on elders, I think we tend to focus on the shepherd's responsibility to the flock. But today we will conclude this series with a lesson titled The Flock's Biblical Base Responsibility to the Elders. Okay, the flock's responsibility to the elders. But I wanted to put the flock's biblical responsibility to the elders because that's important. God is God, and he is a God of order, not discord, not chaos.
And he has given us many examples in the leadership hierarchy when it pertains to his word. For example, the husband leads, right, in the marriage in Ephesians 5. Parents lead in the home in Ephesians 6. Government or rulers of authority in a nation in Romans 13. And elders and shepherds lead the church in Hebrews 13 and verse 17. And last, and certainly not least, Jesus, the good shepherd, overall in John chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So this morning, if we want to have Jesus as our shepherd, we have to be willing to listen to the words of God, the word of the Lord. And Jesus says, he who has ears, let them hear. Luke 8, chapter 8. Now, the problem is many have ears, but many refuse to listen. A willingness to listen requires something very important. So in order for you to hear, it requires another H word, which is humility. For you to listen and to hear from someone else, to take counsel from someone else, to allow someone else to lead, to care for you, to have your best interests at heart and be open enough to allow them to do that, it takes humility. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. We must have a desire, saints, to learn, just as the Bereans who received the word with great eagerness in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. All right. So I want you to receive with great eagerness the words of the Lord. This is not the book of Chris. This is not the book of popular opinion. This is not Reader's Digest. This is not News Weekly. This is the word of the Lord. So let's look at a few responsibilities that the flock has regarding the elders. The first is get to know your elders and esteem them. Right? We hear about it all the time that we have to get to know one another. We need to know each other. We need to have a personal relationship with one another. But let me tell you something. It is also important for us to have a personal relationship with the elders, to get to know them, to understand who they are, what their story is, and esteem them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, the infallible word of God says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. I want us to understand, as that relationship between member and elder is for us to respect those who labor among you, right, and are over you and admonish you, right? Not because of their position, not because of their title, but because of their work, because of what they do, because of how they serve. And I believe if we start thinking about it in those terms, about what they bring to the table, about what they sacrifice, because I know we don't truly know, right? And that's why I'm saying for you to get a better understanding of those who are overseeing you, to know their story, so you can have a better understanding of what they do, how much time they spend, how much time they pray, how many tears are shed, how many times they visit, all of the worry and concern that they have. You would have a better understanding if you would understand the position in which they're working from. So the first responsibility of a church member to their leaders is to know them, right? That word means to appreciate and respect them. That's what I mean by getting to know them, understanding them, respect and appreciate them. The Thessalonica believers were to appreciate those who diligently labored among them. Who diligently labored among them. So thanking the Lord for their willingness to expend themselves. We ought to be thankful for what they do, right? The physical things that they deal with, the mental things that they deal with, the emotional things that elders deal with to benefit the flock. So I think sometimes we look at, oh, they're only doing this for themselves. This is about them. No, good elders work mentally, physically, and emotionally, spend themselves so that the flock can benefit. And I think if we start, again, looking at it in those terms, then we'll have a different respect for the relationship that we need to have with our overseers. So there are three things members need to know about their shepherds. The first one is to know their labor. Right? When you truly know, right? For example, when I first came and I start preaching, right? And I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm just saying, when I first came in and start preaching, you just kind of know, okay, well, Chris preaches, and, you know, we know he does the Bible class, and, you know, he does some things, and, you know, he visits and he shows up. But until I was able to show you the work that I was doing, that gave you a different perspective of the labor that I do. So you know that I'm not just preaching on Sundays, right? And I'm only just doing Bible classes on Wednesday and a few phone calls here and there, and every now and then you see my car at the building. You have to understand and know the labor, right? Because most shepherds work more hours than church members know about. They work more hours than church members know about. The second thing is knowing that God called them into the role to be overseers. They didn't say to themselves, okay, we're going to go to this church and we're going to designate ourselves to be over it. God ordained for those to be overseers over us, right? So know that they're God-given. And the third one is to know that they are serving us. When you look at it in those terms, they are serving us. So they're admonishing us. They're edifying us. They're praying for us. They're counseling us. They're teaching us God's word and watching out for the flock. But the church also has a responsibility, right? And we as members need to esteem their leadership. And the word esteem means to hold them in high regard. It means to consider, right, that as believers, that we hold them in high regard because of what they're doing, right? And the ministry is a high and holy work. And believers, let me tell you something, are exhorted to a place of proper value when they have leaders that they esteem. We look at the work that they do and we understand that, right? And so we respect that. And if we esteem them very highly in love, I'm telling you, it takes them to another level, right? So when they're emotionally spent, when they're physically spent, right? And they are physically spent, the one thing that they can see is that the flock respects and esteem them for what they do. When you think about the fact that they are the faithful soul carers of our soul, right? That they're the soul carers. They take care and make sure that we are okay. Then we should look at it different. We should appreciate them. And I'm not advocating that we should exalt them above God, but we should esteem them in love, right? Because worship is only to be given to God. But what I'm saying is we ought to respect the work and the labor that takes place for elders. It is the responsibility of our elders to know their flock as well. So just as much as they are supposed to know us and they want to meet with us and they want to spend time with us, we need to be inviting them to our houses. We need to be spending time with them. We need to continue to uplift them and encourage them and to learn more about one another. Now, the second one is obey and submit to the elders. Obey and submit to the elders. In Hebrews 13:17, which we were read by my brother, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. And those they will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I think that we assume that based on the Bible and all these instructions on obeying, that we forget that obeying is simply submitting to their direction through the word of God. See, when they give us direction and the direction comes from the word of God, we shouldn't have any problem obeying it, because what we're truly doing is obeying the word of God. I'm not obeying the word of Keith. I'm not obeying the word of Ron. Now, don't get me wrong. They can give you some advice. They can help encourage you. But when they're talking about being obedient to something and following something, I am following the word of God, because it is through that that they're presenting to me in order for me to change my life, in order for me to make sure that I am right with God. And that's the responsibility. And so as long as the elders are presenting information to help me get to heaven, to protect me from the fiery darts of Satan, to protect me from a first class trip ticket to hell, I'm going to listen to them. In Hebrews 13:17, it makes two strong points. The first one is to obey your leaders, right? For they keep watch over your soul. Obey means to be persuaded or to listen to, right? It speaks of obedience that results in confidence, right? So it's not speaking of this weird cult-like thing. It's simply speaking of how we ought to be overseen through the word of God. And I want you to understand something. They have a lot of pressure on them, because they have to give an account for every soul that they oversee. It's not like, oh, okay, well, you know, for those who want to do it, that's fine, and those who do. No, I am an elder, and I'm the overseer over the flock. I don't get to pick and choose who I'm going to help and who I'm not going to help, who I'm going to encourage, who I'm not going to encourage, who I'm going to pray for, who I'm not going to pray for. They are responsible for every soul in the flock. And we need to be able to respond in a manner that's respectful. Because let me tell you something, the rebellious attitude in a body of Christ is a sign that a person has done one, has not done one thing, the one important thing. So if you're around here causing ruckus and you have this rebellious attitude, what you're simply saying is, I have not totally surrendered my heart to God. Because ultimately, you have to ask yourself, who's the authority? The ultimate authority. That's God. So if they're giving me the words of the Lord, if they are giving me book, chapter, and verse to help my life, to change me, to guide me, to take care of me, why wouldn't I look at that, right? Because it's so important, because God has called these men to lead the flock. God has given them the oversight of the local church. And if you got a problem with that, you have a problem with God. See, when we hear and obey God's word and put ourselves under his authority, it's that much easier to submit to those lesser authority that has been placed over us. It's not hard to do then. Just think about it. If we as a people, as a construct of believers, would just do what God says, it would be so much easier when somebody else asks you to do something that you're under the authority of. That's husband and wife relationship. That's parent to child relationship. That's elder to member relationship. And overall, that's human to God relationship. And we have to understand that. The second point is, the verse says, the flock is commanded to submit. The word submit means to yield or surrender. A rebellious attitude in the body of Christ, again, has not surrendered to the ultimate authority of God. See, when we hear and obey God's word, we submit to his authority. So elders are told to be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, right? This type of watchfulness, it is like a constant demand of a tireless effort. It does not stop. When we submit to the leadership of our own spiritual welfare, right? And when this takes place, shepherding is a joy. When they tell us to do something, they say, and it's through the word of God, shepherding is a joy. It becomes easier to us. But when we don't, the joy disappears. And that's why you see discord in congregations today. So when you think about having no discord, that means that we have to work in unity with the elders, which is my next point. We have to work in unity with the elders. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verses 11 through 16, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of our God to mature manhood. That alone is a whole lot. That alone is a whole lot. Not to mention the 3,000 personalities, several different issues. Everybody's growing at a different rate. Everybody's a little on a different mature level than the other. But when all that's said and done, they have to equip us. They have to teach us. They have to lead us and guide us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You already know how hard my job is, so just imagine how hard theirs is. I had a hard enough time trying to get people just to even come to church or open their Bibles or let alone pray. Just imagine dealing with every individual, knowing what's going on, their personal things, all of the things that they know and you know, but I don't know. On top of that, they have the responsibility to make sure that you come into the fullness, that being able to accomplish the full characteristics of Christ. That's their job. All the time. It doesn't stop. Not to mention, sometimes elders work outside of the church. So he has a personal life, he has his own children, he has his own family, and yet he still has to look out for the flock. Right? And then it goes on to say, so what may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitfulness, rather speak the truth in love. We ought to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The elders and the minister should not be viewed as the only people that have responsibility in the body. That's what I mean by working in unity. We're looking for a few good men. We're looking for some men to step up to want to and have a desire to be overseers, to be shepherds. We're looking for a few good men to step up and be able to serve. And frankly, I'm going to say it. I don't know if the elders say it, but I'm going to say it. My job is to say it, so I'm going to say it. I'm looking for some men to step up. I shouldn't have to beg and look for men to step up to do anything when it pertains to the work of the Lord's kingdom. I shouldn't have to beg, not one man, not one, because I can't do everything. I can't be here to everything. I can't teach every class. I can't preach every lesson. Run and Keith can't do it all the time. The same people can't sing. The same people can't serve. The same people can't pray and read scripture. We need unity. And that means that every single person who has a mouth, a mind, and a body to do the will and the work of the Lord so the church can grow, his kingdom can expand, it needs to start happening now. We are all to minister to one another. It ain't just me. It ain't just Ron. It ain't just Keith. It ain't just the deacons. It ain't just the same brethren that we hear from in class and stand up and teach and preach and step in. It's all of us, every single one of us. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It didn't say come and sit on a pew. It said to go. So when you come here and sit and you hear, then you go and you spread the gospel, that which you have learned, so that we can grow. The church ain't no one team show. It needs all of us in order to function. It takes a collective effort. When we talked about being members of one body, yes, we all have different talents, all types of different gifts. But when the body is doing its part and working well together, it is spiritually edified and we grow. But when it's all said and done throughout it all, we have to continue to encourage one another. And when we talk about regular encouragement, not just regular encouragement one another, we have to regularly encourage the elders. Right? The Bible says over Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that one of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of your sin. We got to do this daily, lest our hearts will be hardened, lest we will fall under deceitfulness. That's why we have overseers, right? And they have the opportunity to do good for all of us, especially to those of us of the household of faith. And it's their job to help us. Galatians 6:10, let nothing be done through strife, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem each other better than themselves. That includes the elders. I think the pressure and the problems in the church, the criticisms, I think the sense of failure in the ministry, the financial strain, COVID, personal problems, you name it, racism, all these things not only can weigh heavily on us, but on our overseers. On our overseers. And I'm going to say it whether they want, I'll just have to deal with it later. But I'm telling you, you all don't see the tears. There are conversations that I have to have. And I see how it affects them. I see that how it worries them. Concern about how to do this and how to do this and how to do that. Because they're concerned for your souls. They're concerned that you stay motivated. They're concerned that you stay on fire for God. They're concerned for your eternal destination. The pressures and the problems weigh heavy. But the Apostle Paul faced some hard times of discouragement as well. And over 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of trouble which come to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despair even of life. Our shepherds need regular encouragement. That's coming from us. The same way we want to be encouraged, the same way we want to be loved, the same way we want somebody to care for us and look after us, they need it the same way we do. They put their pants on one leg at a time the same way you do. They are people the same way you are. They got problems the same way you do. And yet they have to manage them. They have to manage them, their offenses, their problems, all the things that are going on, plus make sure that you are doing the right thing. That's not an easy task. And it is our responsibility to help along the way. So what that means is we got to pray for them. We talk about it all the time. We got to pray for them. Pray for the elders. Right. The flock needs to regularly pray for the elders. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome, right, of the way of life and imitate their faith. So not only are we supposed to be praying for them, we got to remember them. Right. You call into recollection your leaders when you praying at nighttime. You pray for them. You pray that God continues to cover them and protect them and give them the insight and the wisdom to guide us in a manner that helps us all get to heaven. And we need to be in constant prayer about that. And one of the best ways to fulfill this command, again, is through prayer. Paul leads pleads with the believers in Thessalonica. Right. In 1 Thessalonians, he says, brothers, pray for us. He said, pray for them. And perhaps there is no greater way for church members to love their leaders and remember them than to keep them before God's throne. There's no better way. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. We need to be praying for them. It ain't like they don't get tempted. It ain't like they don't have no problems. They're not perfect. So they need us just as much as we need them. But it has to be a give and take relationship. Next, the flock has a responsibility to communicate with the elders. This is a big one. This is a big one. I don't doubt that they have a sign up sheet out there and says, you know, everybody sign up and let's talk with us. And it doesn't have to be long. I'm sure there's some folks here that refuse. I'm sure folks that I don't need to talk to you. I'm fine. But we need to communicate with our elders, because the very people who say, well, I'm fine, I don't need to talk to you, everything fine. The moment that they make a decision that you disagree with, you're ready to talk then. You won't have something to talk about then when you disagree, but now you have an opportunity to communicate with them about what's going on, then do so. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You got to communicate with them. So if there's something that they're doing that you disapprove of, then you need to have a conversation with him. And vice versa. We ought to be able to talk to them. Right. And in Ephesians chapter 4, 32, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I think these are vital, right? Because you may find when it's all said and done, no matter what the situation is, that after talking with the shepherd, you find out that the act that you found offensive was not intentional. It wasn't meant to be offensive. It wasn't meant to hurt you. It wasn't meant to make you feel however you felt. And then things can probably be resolved. The goal is not always to have peace in the church, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. I'm sorry, the bond is always to keep peace in the church. Always. Number 7, the flock has a responsibility to hold the shepherd accountable. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 19 through 20, and 1 Timothy 4, 16. Do not admit a charge against the elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. And keep close watch on yourselves on the teaching. Persist in this. For by so doing, you will have both yourself and your hearers. When leaders are guilty of open sin or serious doctrinal error, it is important for us to hold them accountable and responsible. The same way that they're supposed to hold us, right? It is important to remember the two or three witnesses, right? The text is to let us know this, right? So when a witness sees a grievous sin firsthand, it don't mean to get angry and get you some cold hearts together and y'all come up with a way to try to get them out of there. We need to have a conversation to try to heal, to redeem, to revive and restore. You would be surprised the amount of people who couldn't wait to launch some guerrilla attacks on the others. Can't wait. I can't wait because I didn't like the lad. I'm talking about, you remember that time he made that decision? I ain't like that and I ain't like this. And then as soon as they do something that you disapprove or is sinful, you can't wait to attack them and pull them down. That shouldn't be the attitude of us to our elders. That shouldn't be the mindset of our elders to them. See, when we do it in a manner in which God has constructed for us to do it, Then there's joy, then there's peace, and there's reconciliation, right? So we understand that we're not to tolerate open sin, right? But at the same time, we ought to want to help build up our elders. God's people must love their leaders enough to also tell them when they're wrong. So I don't doubt that we don't have a responsibility when they openly are sinning, you know, two or three witnesses and they're doing some things that are not biblically right. Yes, it is our duty to discipline them the same way it is for them to discipline us. And last, in closing, the flock has a responsibility to mimic the elders. Okay, so another responsibility to the congregation toward the leaders is to mimic them. So we want to imitate them, right? We want to look like them. That's the reason for the qualifications. You think about the qualifications, right? And if we all mimic the qualifications, think how strongly the church would be with elders. And even if you didn't have them, you'd have men that were qualified to become them if you needed them. When you started, a work of your own. Oh, we got qualified people right here, right now. Something happens, God forbid, something happens to Keith or Ron. We got men qualified to step right in instead of saying, well, we don't know what we're going to do. What are we going to do now? But what we supposed to do? The eldership is dissolved. But we had men who already had a mind to work, men who are already putting themselves in positions to lead in order to take care of God's people. We need shepherds just as much as we need preachers, just as much as we need deacons. We ought to be imitators of them. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, be imitators of me just as I also am imitating Christ. And my whole point of this is that it's not about anything more than us working together to get to heaven. God has put an organization in place for his kingdom and for his people, and we must follow it to the T. There are instructions that have been given to us, and we must follow them to the T. And I'm telling you, there are people who will argue up and down when you give them book, chapter, and verse about what it is that they need to do and don't need to do, and they get upset. So let me tell you something. The elders have a grave responsibility, but I would also piggyback to say that we do as well. To respect them, to appreciate them, to esteem them, to get to know them, to obey them, to pray for them, to work in unity with them, to encourage them. All of these things continuously we must do. And above all, hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. I want you to know, guys, that I have truly enjoyed this series. And hopefully I've said some things that kind of spark some of the men and put a fire under you. And so those who may not have understood some things about the eldership and what they bring to the table and what our responsibilities are, I hope that I have been able to enlighten you in such a way that you are more informed than you were before I started this. I learned that these men are in a position to help us better understand the seriousness of our relationship with God. And it is our responsibility to love and respect these men as they take care of our souls. They are looking out for our souls, and I think together we can make it a joy when we work in unison with them. If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, you have an opportunity to do so this morning. You have an opportunity to change your life. You have an opportunity to come closer to God, to have a better and stronger relationship than you ever had before. And you can do that this morning. And if you are a Christian and you have been struggling and you need the prayers of the church, or you need to repent of a sin that you've done publicly or an unrepented one, then you can do so also this morning. You know, one of the hardest things is when you look at the word of God and you see that you're not doing what you're supposed to do and you have to make a decision to change. And I know that there are some things in the Bible that are hard. They are hard, but they are necessary. And I know that they are put in place for a reason. And even if you don't understand it or you don't want to understand it, I know that it's put in place for a reason. And so I want to say this to all of us out here. So let me ask you very quickly. How many of us this morning are in a situation? You can call it whatever you, I'm just calling it a situation. How many of us in a situation? That means you're going through something. Okay. How many of you want to change that situation? How many want to change their current situation right now? Okay. I said that to say, when we are no longer able to change our situation, or that thing that we don't like about ourselves or what's currently going on, we are challenged to change ourselves. And so I'm challenging you this morning, if you want to change your situation that you have not been able to change, maybe it's not the situation that needs to change. Maybe it's you. So if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, please come now. Together we stand and sing.